This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
I am here today not as the actress that you all probably have seen on the various screens available for our entertainment today, but as a member of a family. I'm here as a daughter, a sister, an aunt, and a mother. I have learned that one out of four families is touched by mental illness. The fact that mine is one of them puts us right at the heart of the entire human family. On hearing about how some think highly creative families are more susceptible to mental illness, Jesse once said to me quite matter-of-factly and with not a touch of self-pity, "I guess I'm the sacrificial lamb." So because of her and Kaylin, because of great Uncle Gene, poor Uncle Harry, and our beloved Mimi, I decided to use my name and image to focus on the eradication of the stigma, prejudice, and discrimination that I came to realize was such a hurtful burden to beloved members of my family. And my education began. Little did I know that it is the last, perhaps most challenging civil and human rights issue of our time.
That was actor Glenn Close speaking in Ottawa at a conference about stigma and mental illness in June 2012. She shared the stage with her sister, Jessie Close, and her nephew, Jessie's son, Kaylin Pick. The three have provided a high-profile look at a family that is working hard to make sense of mental illness. We're joined on the phone by artist and advocate Kaylin Pick.
Welcome to People First Radio, Kaylin.
Thank you, Kevin.
You've been on a journey of recovery that began about a decade ago. Tell us a bit about your experience, Kaylin, of mental illness and how you began to move on from that illness.
Well, it's a long story, but when I was about 18, 19, I started to kind of experience the first signs of my mental illness. Sort of erratic behavior as well, and probably more importantly, erratic thinking. I don't know, it's been a really long time of experiencing the sort of uncomfortable and erratic thoughts and feelings and resulting in some erratic behavior. But it's, you know, the recovery for me, my recovery has been a very slow changing of myself, and of course purposefully. That's kind of the main point in my recovery anyway.
You said in your remarks
slow
at the
process.
You said in your remarks at the Ottawa conference that the drop into psychosis was a quick event and that the climb out is slower, as you've mentioned, and more mechanical. Is that what you are describing when you say kind of the work that you have to do? Or
yes, it is. My mind kind of just wanted to go to these places. It wanted to think these things that bothered me. And I think anyone can identify with the fact that changing yourself is a slow process, and it's not so easy. To change myself purposefully, you know, it takes much more time than just sort of going with the flow. And this is, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I dropped into it. I kind of just, my mind just kind of flowed to this place. And, to change it was a slower process, you know, more difficult, rather.
You've also said,
if that makes any sense.
Yeah, you've also said, Kaylin, that there's a lot to say about acceptance when you're talking about recovery. Tell us more about the importance of acceptance.
Acceptance. I think accepting yourself as a good person is incredibly important. Accepting that I do probably have a chemical imbalance is another facet of acceptance. I can't, you know, there's just so much to say about acceptance, and it's a little bit complicated.
Your mother has also struggled with mental illness. Her name is Jessie Close. She's experiencing her own recovery journey. Now, you, Kaylin, together with your mother and her sister, Glenn Close, have formed an educational campaign called Bring Change to Mind. Tell us about how that all came to be.
Okay. Well, my mother, Jessie, was really in kind of a bad place, and during a family gathering, she approached her sister, my Aunt Glenn, and with asking for her help because of the stigma she was feeling, both self and I think from members of our community. And, they sat down, and I think they just came up with this idea, you know, to really, first of all, expose this issue, and secondly, help those in need, both in our own family and abroad.
You said in your remarks in Ottawa, and I was there at that conference and was happy to hear all three of you speaking. I'm just quoting something that you said, so many are suffering in their minds, and then you said everyone is suffering in one way or another.
Well, sure. Yeah, I believe that, you know, and I think on some level, everyone has their burden to bear.
How has Bring Change to Mind unfolded since its beginning? What's going on with it right now? What's happened since the start?
Well, I'm primarily just an advocate and speaker for Bring Change to Mind. So, I'm not really involved at this point with, answering requests and things like that. But it is a place where people can come to find, educational material, and also speak with someone if they are in crisis.
You've acknowledged that after your experience and diagnosis of mental illness that you were largely abandoned by your friends at the time. Tell us about stigma and what your thoughts are in that area.
Oh, man. I was only 16 or 17 when I started to kind of have these problems. And so in retrospect, I cannot really blame the people I was surrounded by for... taking their tact. I think, it's just something that people don't really, they're not educated about. And, I think the more people know and sort of generally about it, the better of a chance there is that someone's gonna be able to step in and sort of break through to a individual, let's say, that, might be experiencing some psychological problems. And stigma is a killer. You know, it really is. It's, we can conceptualize that stigma exists, but, it's really about, as my aunt said, almost, a civil rights issue, because... things that are said, things that are commonly believed can actually, I think, really injure people emotionally and psychologically.
In your remarks, Kaylin, at the Mental Health Commission of Canada's conference in June 2012, you spoke about imagination and how when you were ill, it was, quote, like my imagination didn't know where to draw a line, unquote.
Uh-huh.
Now you're an artist, which is another use of imagination, perhaps more directed. Tell us about the experience of being an artist and how it relates to your recovery.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. You know, I've always been inclined to draw and paint and create art. So it's something that I've always done my entire life. And, you know, I think that for me, the issue of discovery or self-discovery is important. And so in my artwork, I'm faced with let's say, a problem. And, you know, whether that's about how to layer the paint to look like a tree or, you know. So it's about teaching myself how to solve problems and how to creatively and aesthetically, you know, put together something that pleases me and hopefully other people. So
the images of the art that you have posted at your website at this moment at kaylinpick.com are primarily of many different faces. What's your current artwork focused on? What is what is that project saying about your journey, or what have you learned with that?
Well, it's sort of an intrinsic. I intrinsically am drawn to painting faces, which is kind of interesting to me because I do have trouble, let's say, a lot of the time, you know, even reading faces in real life, you know, and but I think with each face, I'm sort of drawn to the expressions that unfold as I'm painting, and you know, that mixed with, you know, pleasing colors and shapes, and it's a lot for me about the energy that goes into painting.
Kaylin, in Ottawa, you also said, "The path back to a simpler reality for me will never end. It's an ongoing path back to a simpler reality." Tell us about that path and what it means.
Yeah, well, I hope to continue to simplify my life. Maybe more specifically, simplify what I think about the world, you know, because I just, for a long time, it was, each day was filled with sort of epiphany and believing these ideas about, you know, what the world actually, you know, how the world felt and what I thought about the world. And it got, you know, it got to the point of, and I said my imagination didn't know where to draw the line. You know, it became difficult to make sense of so much information and so many different thoughts mixed with feelings. And so I hope that, I hope that works.
So the simple life is the focus now.
Yeah. I think it's, simplicity is great. And it can't always be achieved, but, you know, it's a beautiful thing when things appear as they are.
Kaylin Pick, thank you very much for taking the time to join us today. It was much appreciated.
You're welcome, Kevin. Thank you.
Kaylin Pick is an educator, advocate, and artist. You can find him online at kaylinpick.com.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.